Hello. Hello. How are you? Welcome to The Lock-In. Brought to you by the PTC Network. We have a website, you know. Can you believe it? Four Dirty Marks have a website. Horrendous. Thank you very much for joining us for our first of hopefully many episodes for The Lock-In. The concept of this is basically you get off a chat. Three of your favourite wrestling personalities, dead, alive, in between, who knows? That's your choice. That's not mine. Okay. Bring them over to a nondescript pub, restaurant of your choice, should you so want it. And you're going to ask them three questions. Three questions just over beers, potentially a Coke. I know our guest today loves a good diet Pepsi. So it's just to try and get the conversation flowing and just have a nice time. Just have a nice time. So
a nice time had by all.
Touch wood. That is the goal. So, firstly, our guest today is none other than the Scottish man.
That's fair. I mean, fair accurate. Play.
Yeah, Scottish man. You've probably, if you have been to North, especially recently, you may have heard a man shout Scotland in the background. Very loud, so too loudly.
I think loud enough that everyone can hear it is what I'm aiming for. Maybe so loud that people wish they couldn't hear it.
Definitely, you know, that.
If it crosses that threshold, then
so be it. So now you can hopefully put a face to that horrendous scream and voice. And hopefully stick with the podcast and don't get PTSD flashbacks of just someone shouting Scotland. Is Scotland your bastard?
Scotland's your bastard, yeah. A couple of pints have to have been consumed. Not doesn't even. Always have to be a Scottish person in the ring, to be
just
fair.
Just at any point.
So at any point.
So, I want to welcome William as our first guest.
Hi there,
to the, hello. The rest holder on.
Lovely. I do see what you did there. I wish you hadn't.
Big sign behind us, I don't know if you can see it. Neon.
It's neon. Yeah. The neon is garish, but
too much, I would say.
It draws attention.
It does. It does well. Where when you think about this restaurant, what we are basically brick wall, no windows, tiny little door. You don't know it's there. When you go in, that's when it becomes. It's almost like Willy Wonka's. You go in, and goodness me, there's tinsel. There is neon lights, lamps on the table. It is beautiful. But the restaurant is not the reason we're here today. The reason we're here today is to see who you would have a bit of a chat with. Okay, so firstly, what we are going to do, thank you for coming.
You're very welcome. Glad to be
you. I would like to say you had a choice in this, but I think we both know that it was sprung upon you at the very last minute. So really, you are welcome for being here. Let me grab that coat of yours. I'm going to hang this up here. Thank you very much. Now, would you, William, please first give me, I'm going to take you to your table in two brief moments, but what I would like you to do is, I've got on this this reservation here that you made, well, jam-packed, you made this reservation years ago.
I did.
I'm guessing. So, we have William plus three.
Yes.
I'm assuming they're your guests?
They are, yeah.
You're not just wanting to sit at a table by yourself?
No, excited to have them here.
Can I grab those names from you? So who am I taking to this table? We have William, that is you.
We have Eddie Guerrero.
Eddie Guerrero.
Who I think is going to be a popular choice. I would hope is a popular choice in this format.
I can't imagine he wouldn't be.
Yeah.
For a first episode, first timer, I can see him being a regular.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we have William, we have Eddie Guerrero.
Yes. We have my all-time favourite wrestler, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. Again, propping up the bar.
Yeah. I feel it's very obvious choices so far, I think.
Hey.
Again, I would hope so.
I mean, this is the first episode. This is ground zero. Nothing's obvious.
That's true.
That's fair. Yeah. You are setting the trends that people will hopefully be trumping on.
Absolutely.
And your third and final guest.
I debated this. It's difficult because there's lots of choices and obviously lots of people in wrestling who you could have an amazing chat with. But what I've gone for is the people who I'd have the most to ask, most sort of interesting sort of careers. So I've chosen Paul Heyman.
Paul Heyman?
Paul Heyman.
Wild card. And I know for a fact that is a last-ditch change.
That is.
It's a last-ditch change. Beautiful. So we have your quotes. I'm going to take Eddie Guerrero's bouquet of flowers that probably has a pipe in it as well. I'm going to take Stone Cold Steve Austin's leather vest, pop that up on the top, and Paul Heyman's ponytail. I'm going to take all three of those things from your guests. We're going to put them in the waiting room now. If you would please follow me, let me take you to your table. Thank you very much. Now everyone's sat down, everyone's comfortable.
Yeah.
Let me introduce myself. My name is Craig. I will be your waiter for this evening. I am also probably the main Craig in this whole thing. I'm not going to... Just put that out.
Craig number one is very much
what I think. I didn't want to say that. Thank you.
Craig
Thank
number
you.
One.
Thank you.
Then there's the other one.
Now, I, as your waiter, there is one thing I don't think I mentioned to you at the very start, which may change things slightly. So, before I take your order, firstly, the rule we have for the lock-in is that one of your guests must be in character for the entire podcast. For the entire show, the entire meal, one of your characters must be, one of your guests must be in character. Now, you don't get to choose this. So this isn't on you. This is on me. Now, where do I go? Do I go Eddie Guerrero, Latino Heat? Do I have him going round and at the end of the meal swanning off with everyone's wallets?
It's worth mentioning that I am wearing a Latino Heat t-shirt as well.
Do I go for Stone Cold Steve Austin in character? Do I have him coming in and just causing havoc, tipping tables, pouring beer over just strangers, everyone. Really?
The last thing you'd want in a restaurant. Yeah.
Or do I have Paul Heyman now as a character? I often feel that Paul Heyman doesn't have, and correct me if I'm wrong, Paul Heyman's character is not that much of a gimmick. That is him. That is him. So you could get Paul Heyman. Don't get me wrong. He's gonna give us some wonderful stories. But is it going to add anything to this conversation? Is it going to make any of your questions just...
It's going to blur the lines. Yeah, because I think Paul Heyman as a character is very similar, I would imagine, in real life. So
before I take all of your orders, I think we have Austin 316 as character in this.
A strong choice.
So that does mean that any of your questions going further forward to Stone Cold Steve Austin, he will have to answer them. And I'm guessing between the two of us, we're going to try and negate the answers between the two of us. But
we'll do our best.
For the remainder of this, Stone Cold Steve Austin is currently in character. Okay, so
it limits the questions I can ask him.
No,
really.
No, I presume you've got your answers already prepared.
My answers?
Your questions.
I know what I want to ask him. Yeah.
So, that is amazing. Now, Stone Cold Steve. Okay, get down from that chair, Steve. Get down from that chair. He's on it already.
He's off on it. You've caused this, though, really. Like, predictably.
I don't make the rules.
He was going to be ruckus.
He's flipping everyone off.
Does the beer come in glasses, or do you serve it in cans?
He's going to the kitchen.
He's off now. He's off. Right. We only have two guests now. I imagine he's going to come back.
He'll be back.
He'll be back in 20 minutes with someone in a headlock and a wheelbarrow full of cans from the back. But this is, this is your choice.
These are to be expected. How is the security here at the ref holder on?
Lax, I'll be honest with you. It is a wrestling related podcast anyway, so we always, security in wrestling is always
it's pretty
lax.
Poor.
Pretty poor.
Yeah.
Oh wait, that is something that should be addressed a bit more.
Yeah, because I think as well, there's a big difference between the real security, who do great a job, the lads in bright yellow t-shirts at ringside who stop fans from leaning on the barricade and
I believe
don't have too much fun.
One of the members of this actual company, you can usually see him perusing around in a bright yellow hoodie, can't you? As far as I'm aware, Big Carl, he's a member of security, isn't he?
He just dresses it. I think he does it to act hard. I think that's on him, just to look a big man.
In the future, whenever you see Big Carl, what he wants is he puts on that persona that he's like, I'm going to do your in, but just give him a big tummy rub.
Yeah, that's all he loves it.
He loves that. So...
But yeah, there's a big difference. The real life security, like Carl, who do a great job enforcing wrestling shows, versus the on-screen security, who are always rubbish. Yeah, and there'll be 56 of them, and one wrestler will outfox them and sort of send them flying. That's to be expected.
Whenever we are at our local federation show north, he just looks like a lazy member of staff. four pints deep in the middle and there's a big ruckus going on. you can see the staff, excuse me, mate, can you come in? And he's like, nah, he's got a stout in each hand.
Give him the big double fist and stouts. That's Carl to a T.
We've got Austin back in. So Austin's currently back in the room. He's under caution so far. Two yellows and he's out. Okay, currently cool. He's on one. The issue that we have, though, is that we both know that Austin doesn't abide by any
law. Famously does not follow the rules.
He doesn't. So he's not known I think for we it. Are going to have to crack on. So firstly, your first pick, Eddie Guerrero.
Mm.
Talk to me a little bit about what made you pick Eddie?
I just love Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
And I think that he was sadly taken from us a long time ago now, which it doesn't feel like that long ago, but it was like 17 years ago. And I think so much has happened in wrestling on a huge scale and sort of on a smaller scale as well, just little changes and big changes and stuff. So much has happened. It'd be fascinating to find out what he thinks about everything that's happened since, because I always thought he was probably quite old school. You know, in sort of his approach to training and his sort of character work, and I would imagine he's quite old school secretly.
For you know, me, Eddie ticks all those boxes where when I was young and I didn't know the ins and outs of wrestling, I hated him.
Yeah.
And then when I went back, and like, the older I got, the more I knew. I went back and I was like, "Oh right, okay, I was meant to hate him." That was I couldn't. It was a greasy. Just coming out, just stealing things, just constantly being so sneaky. Such a cheeky little devil. Such a cheeky little devil. The whole thing you had with China.
In hindsight, really annoyed me as a kid, exactly as you're saying. But now it's incredible. And I think he's one of these people that, some people in wrestling can be slightly overhyped. Or sort of overestimated, or whatever you want to call it. And I think sometimes Eddie Guerrero, his name comes up so frequently, you think like, oh yeah, it's, you know, of course you said Eddie Guerrero. And then you watch him and it's like, oh yeah, no, fair enough, actually. Yeah. He is exactly as good as everyone said he was.
Very much a case of the more you watch, the more you get out.
Yeah, exactly.
So with that being said, what is your first question you would ask?
My first question, maybe slightly somber note, but I think it's an interesting question. I hope so anyway. What does he want his legacy to be? Because I think he has a really strong legacy in the fact that we've just spent, 5 minutes talking about how much we love the guy and how great he is. And I think everyone loves Eddie Guerrero. And everyone thinks of him as this class worker and this class performer and this amazing character wrestler, as well as being sort of so crisp and clean in the ring and stuff. I'd love to know what he wants his legacy to be and what he thinks of that legacy. You know, does he wish that people talked more about the in-ring stuff? Does he wish people talked more about the character stuff? You know, does he want to be associated with certain periods of his career and vice versa? You know, I'd love to know what he wants his legacy to be and what he thinks of his legacy in wrestling. Is he proud of it, or does he wish he could change it, or, you know, things like that?
It's an interesting thing that you mentioned there, specifically in terms of different parts of his career, because when you think about Eddie's as a whole, not just the stuff in the main place, but everything leading up to that, and even the breaks in between. So from all accounts, whenever you hear people speak to him, again, when he was at his highest and potentially when he was kind of at his lowest at some points, he was always just the biggest professional.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the thing. So I always get the impression that's not so much forgotten about, but it's not discussed as much as for instance when he was released and he went and done the Ring of Honor things. He was always spoken of as like
an absolute pro, a gentleman.
Absolute pro. What do you think is your peak Guerrero? What stands out to you the most?
I think in terms of nostalgia, like him as with China. Like, that's really funny in hindsight, and they were really entertaining together, and he's just hilarious, and, you know, and having great matches in a period, certainly in American wrestling, where it wasn't really known for its in-ring stuff. Like,
it was more of an experience, it was like Jerry Springer, wasn't it?
Exactly.
Like, you would go, when you watch the Attitude Era stuff back, it is a case of like, I would watch I'd watch a show with my grandparents.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, 98% of them would be like, well, this is just nonsense.
Yeah.
But there'd be someone that would get them and if it speaks to a wide range of me being, you know, so young and then being a certain age, much older.
Yeah, there's few sort of people that stand out for their in-ring contribution in that period, and he's one of them. He's just incredible. So for nostalgia, it's that. But I think about sort of his sort of 2004 run, 2005 run, when he won the WWE Championship and beat Brock Lesnar, and that, like, how emotionally invested I was in that, because I was a little bit older, and that was probably the start of me becoming a smark. Sort of thinking I know more than I do. That was probably the start, and I've got very clear memories of this sort of period of my life when me and my mates would all stay up and watch wrestling live.
Yeah,
we do like sleepovers, so there'd be like four or five guys all staying at my house, sleeping in my bedroom on the floor, staying up to watch pay-per-views and watching that show where he won the WWE Championship. And when the three count hit, standing up on my bed and jumping onto one of my friends on the floor. Don't try this at home, kids. But I hit a frog splash on one of my friends at like 4 o'clock in the morning, and he screamed loud enough to wake up both my parents because I was so happy that Eddie Guerrero had won the WWE title.
Yeah,
like that's, I remember that image very clearly of just like winding poor. Can I say his name? Michael Wilson, lovely lad. But I winded him really badly because I'm not a little guy, and I wasn't when I was 14 either. So I just landed on his stomach and drove all the air out of him because Eddie won the WWE Championship. So shut up, Michael.
I think that with your mention, the big thing that stands out specifically with Eddie, I think that most people could probably agree, is that, again, his in-ring work was unbelievable. Yeah. But it was his character. It was the little things he did. It was his facial expressions, his way of bending the rules. He would be very smart in the way that he would explain the rules of wrestling to someone that wouldn't know the rules of wrestling.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
He would do a lot of that in the way of like a lot of his cheating, a lot of his lying, cheating and stealing gimmick was the whole chair drop down, or the putting the belt in to the and waking up the ref.
Yeah,
that whole thing. If you went to a show and you didn't know the rules,
You'd get it.
You would get it by the end of that match.
It's that spot is so like ingrained in wrestling now. Gene Money did an incredibly funny sort of take on it at the last North show, which is losing my edge.
Bad guy,
Gene. Bad guy. He's filled out all the paperwork and he's a bad guy now. And he did an incredible spot where he had a belt or a chair.
Yeah,
I think it was a steel chair, and he threw it to his tag team partner and laid out. And then suddenly realised he'd thrown it to the wrong person and reacted quite. And it was very, very funny. But that's 2022 on a sort of local show in Newcastle, sort of mimicking stuff that happened, you know, 20 years ago in the biggest wrestling company in the world, or not biggest entertainment company in the world.
That's your first question, then.
Yeah.
And I think that is, for all, as you mentioned it yourself, it is a bit of a somber one, but it's not a great question.
No, it's something I'd love to hear him talk about.
It's a great question. Yeah. What is your second question, sir?
My second question, I think, is maybe still a little bit more open because, and I think I won't be alone here, when you've watched enough wrestling and you've been around it for so long, you're inevitably kind of curious about real life and what goes on behind the scenes and things like that. So I'd be really, sort of, I suppose if it was the man himself and you were trying to, but because he's not here, I can say what I want. Just like, what was it like backstage? If you got any funny stories from backstage? Because that's the stuff I'm interested in. Specifically, I'd love to know about his sort of WCW departure and sort of the dying days there. Because I think at the time he was probably very upset and angry about the whole thing. But I think now he probably quite a good sense of humour about it in hindsight, given how well his career worked out beyond that.
Yeah,
you know, it had a very happy end in that whole story. So I'd love to just hear him sort of talk about backstage stuff and shoot on people a little bit, and just, you know, because I'm sure he's his on-screen character's always really funny and engaging and entertaining, and I'm sure he's a very charming person in real life as well. By all accounts, a lovely guy. So I'd love to just hear him tell some funny stories about people backstage, which is quite an open question, I realise, but he was around for a couple of the biggest periods, or he was around for all the sort of big important periods of wrestling for about, a 15-20 year period, you know?
And with you mentioning backstage stories, obviously you've got his start in Mexico, you've got going then to ECW, yeah. You've got WCW, then you've got the main.
A real rise and fall in WCW as well, coming in as this hot newcomer and having these incredible matches and getting all this praise, and then it slowly sort of petered out and it became a bit, you know.
It's a good one, that, though. Asking for his backstage stories, especially when you are, and to be fair, your third guest, he might be able to fill some of the blanks for us.
Absolutely.
For some of his earlier parts of his career, but definitely you would like, because he's very much of, not so much the old guard now, but he's of that sort of late 90s, early
era.
Mid to late 90s, yeah, and there would be a lot of, I bet he's seen some things.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Seen some
I'm sure there's loads of stories that probably aren't appropriate for a podcast,
and this isn't the place to tell those, but it's the place to speculate.
Exactly.
It's not at all. No, fair question.
I just think it'd be a good laugh as well. Like, I think that conversation, again, if he's, you know, if he was open and sort of happy to sort of laugh about it and stuff, which, again, given how well everything worked out for them and the happy, well, not necessarily a happy ending, but his career wise, he made it to the big dance, and, you know, I'm sure he can have a laugh about sort of Eric Bischoff and all the horrible stuff that happened at the end of WCW.
No, fair, absolutely. I think the one thing with being a wrestling fan is that you want to know everything, but sometimes the things that you don't know are the best things. That's because so much can be is out there in the internet and kind of things at the moment. Some of the blanks are best left unfilled, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think that some of those things, I think definitely, I mean, what if he used to come over and be like, Sting doesn't paint his own face?
it would shake people at their core. It would ruin wrestling for so many people.
Doesn't paint his own face.
Yeah.
I want Sting to be painting his own face.
I'm sure he does. I don't want to disparage Sting.
I'm sure
if you're listening, Mr. Borden,
which he is,
I want to say we believe that you paint your own face. I'm sure you do.
And hopefully he's also available for kids' party hires as well.
Yeah. If you'd like to be on the podcast, by the way, do reach out to us, Mr. Sting.
We have a website.
We do, a very nice website.
Yeah, big Sting fan.
He's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and he's still knocked out of the park.
The stuff he's doing now?
At 62.
62?
Incredible.
Unbelievable. I think at one point, everyone's favourite wrestler was Sting.
He's
cool. It has to be. Everyone has to have been at one point... Sting was my favourite. Whether it be for a week, whether it be for an episode of Nitro, whether it be for, you know, 12 years, like I know Carl on our podcast, he's a big Sting fan. Again, name dropping him in again.
Sting's just really cool, I think.
Yeah.
And do you know what, as well, this is completely off topic, but since we're talking about Sting, he, in his, you know, when he was Surfer Sting with the bleach blonde hair and the face paint, which he may or may not do himself... And
he
was an incredibly good, like, white meat baby face, which is the hardest thing to be. And, like, to come out full of energy and sort of cheerfulness and have the crowd actually cheer you rather than turn on you and be kind of cynical. He was an incredibly popular and really, he's so good at it. You sort of watch it back now and it's like, he's amazing.
He's huge.
In the cheesiest way, you properly sort of get behind the guy. He's just tremendous.
You want another one problem, though?
Mm.
Not on your list.
He's not, you're right.
Get
out of here, Sting.
Get out.
Maybe you can come back on Carl's episode.
I'm no doubt he'll be here at some point in the future, but for now, you've made your choice.
You don't have a reservation.
It might have been a fourth or fifth pick for you. And your last question for Edward Guerrero.
Just because I think we could potentially get a really answer we're not expecting, favourite opponent. Which feels like a really basic question to ask a wrestler, but I feel like Eddie Guerrero is the kind of guy where...
It's going to be rare, isn't it?
Well, you'd think so.
Like, it has to be.
You'd think so, because that'd be my thinking as well, is he's going to say, you know, Rey Mysterio, or even, like, Dean Malenko from WCW, or, like, one of his bigger sort of feuds in the Fed. But I feel like Eddie Guerrero's the kind of wrestler where you just rattle off, like, oh, I had this amazing match with someone you were not expecting on some house show. And I think he's just the kind of wrestler who he remembers all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's probably got a very good memory for it all. So I think you'd get a really... He might just say Rey Mysterio and you end up talking about how amazing his Rey Mysterio matches are, which is true.
Yeah.
But I think
always
there's a very good chance with him specifically, he's going to give you an answer you're not expecting.
Now, unfortunately, Eddie's no longer here. So, if you were to book your dream match, Eddie, just to round off on Eddie, and we've got a few more here, but if you were to close up on Eddie, you were to have one match against anyone, who would you put Eddie against? Who do you think would be?
I think that there's lots of sort of modern talent who could have an insanely good match with Eddie Guerrero.
You can only mention one. There's no honourable mention.
Well, let me get there. I'm ramping up to something, Craig, here.
Only mention one.
I'm the guest. You're supposed to be polite and let me ramp up to things in one time. Yeah, lots of people he could have incredible matches with, sort of modern talent. Mm-hmm. But if we're talking all-time dream matches, there's someone who he never really worked with, and I think we all got shortchanged. Shawn Michaels. It's absurd that those two were sort of at such a peak in their career at roughly the same time in roughly the same company, and we didn't get sort of even just one match between the two, or not certainly not one that I remember. Maybe there was sort of like some random episode of Raw or something, but to have like a sort of hyped, built-up sort of pay-per-view main event between those two men.
I remember
men.
It was battered about. It was definitely, from what I remember, it was rumoured, and I think it was, unfortunately, the mania that happened just after he passed.
Which doesn't surprise me, because he's just an incredible, with two amazing wrestlers, and it doesn't always guarantee they're going to work well together. You know, Shawn Michaels and Mr. Perfect are both great wrestlers, but famously never had a good match together.
I think for that period as well, but if there was going to be anyone that could turn Michaels mid-match.
Absolutely.
Guerrero.
Yeah, I think all-time dream match, that's, as you say, it was batted around because everyone wanted to see it, and it sadly never happened.
Purely just because there would be so much machismo in one ring, I think. I want to see him against Naito, Tetsuya Naito.
Yeah, a great shout.
20 minutes before the bell even goes.
Yeah. Just working. Lots of stalling.
Oh, can you imagine?
Posing. Giving each other dirty looks. You know, everything. Just great. Absolutely.
Beautiful. So, great choice. And no doubt we will see Eddie Guerrero back in. Now, I'm going to go to you. Purely because your second choice, he's gone a bit rogue, as Steve Stephen.
He's disappeared again. I don't know where he gone. He went into the toilet for about 50 minutes. And
he
then
said something about a Steve Weiser. I don't think we have that on draft.
Nah.
So I think he's gone somewhere, probably at the co-op to see. Hopefully he'll be back soon. Legend has it, as soon as someone behind that bar drops a glass and it smashes, he will appear.
I do hope this is all ramping up to you giving us a classic Steve Austin impression.
That's not going to happen. So your second one, your second choice... Paul Heyman. Tell me a little bit about what made you pick Paul Heyman. Because again, polarising character, and someone who will be full to the brim of stories.
I'm just a big fan. I very much a Paul Heyman guy. I think he's a genius. I think that, like, having watched sort of enough documentaries and stuff about ECW, you get a good indication of what he's like, mm-hmm. and sort of his approach to wrestling. I think that he's just a very, like, every time he speaks, you're sort of drawn towards him, and
he speaks, you listen.
Absolutely, just an incredibly sort of interesting guy with, I think, a very open mind. Like, the main reason I like him so much is because I think he's very good at having his finger on the pulse of wrestling. Like NXT, for example, and sort of Ring of Honor, and that style of wrestling where it's like very in-ring focused, and it's sort of what AEW is doing now, and very much what North's doing as well, like very sort of in-ring focused shows where the wrestling speaks for itself. That's what he wanted ECW to become.
Yeah.
And it obviously didn't get a chance. It sort of died out while it was still the hardcore federation, but his idea was to move towards sort of hybrid mixed martial arts, and basically what he describes as sort of his idea for ECW in sort of 2002 is exactly what NXT was 10 years later, you know? So he's more so than a lot of people in wrestling, he's got his finger on the pulse. Like, I think mainstream wrestling at the moment is struggling to decide what the next big break is and what's going to make wrestling mainstream again and all that stuff. I don't think anyone has the answer, but I think if someone does, it's probably Paul Heyman. I think Paul Heyman, left his own devices, could probably give you the next big breakout star in wrestling, the next big angle, the next big show. You know, I think if anyone in wrestling has all the answers, it's probably Paul Heyman.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. So, the only thing with Paul, every time I've seen him in an interview, and this might just be me, I might have only seen one or two videos, every time I've seen Paul Heyman give an interview, you know what he does? Sits on the chair backwards.
Yeah, I think it's.
He does, doesn't he?
I know what you mean.
Slater's it comes in, gives it the big one, turns his chair backwards, straddles it, puts his hands on the top.
Well, he used to love wearing his baseball cap as well. Like, he's very much a cool kid.
He did. I don't want to tell Paul how to sit in this restaurant, but I feel I might have to. For now, hopefully, health and safety first.
For now, he is sitting politely in his chair.
Is that?
Oh no!
Is that Big Steve? Right, Steve's here then, so we're going to have to pop a little pin into Mr. Heyman. So, Steve's here, he's coming barging in.
He's very much insisting on being
next. Classic Stephen. Stephen Cold is what I'm going to write him down here. So, he's here, and as he does, comes in,
I'm so sorry about this, Paul. Tell you what, have a go at your starter, we'll be back to you in a minute. Yeah Steve.
Right,
I regret it?
I don't want to say that you've ruined the mood, but he's here. Easier. What is your first question to Stephen before he throws beer all over us? What is your first question?
I'm shaking. I'm shook.
He's actually here as well.
I'm a bit on the back.
This is not Karen Fabe. He is actually here. Yeah. He's actually here.
He's quiet. Surprisingly quiet.
Okay. What's your first question? to Mr. Stephen Austin.
Let's go again.
Can I ask first question? Mm. Can you sit down, Stephen?
Yeah, that's a very good question.
Please, thank you.
Go sit off down. The table.
Just take a minute, will you? Just bring it down. There's a family of five.
Calm the fuck down. Beer down.
Yeah. So he's right. Okay, he's settled. Ructions. Beautiful. Right. First question for Stephen. Stephen Austin.
I'm shook. Let's start an easy one. Favorite opponent. I want to know who he likes working with, because I feel like he's a very sort of polarizing person in real life. Yeah. I think that he's quite particular about who he's friends with and stuff like that. So he does strike. I feel like he's definitely going to stay The Rock, but I'd love to know, like, you know, any sort of unusual ones.
I feel like that is. I don't want to say a wasted question, but that is something you could probably Google and within about 3 minutes have the answer. But that's fair. That is fair. I don't want to say it's a question wasted, but you know, it was definitely The Rock. It was definitely The Rock.
But, you know, because again, I want to know who he's friends with, basically. So I get the feeling he didn't like anyone.
So what draws you to Stone Cold? What is it that's brought you?
He was the hottest act in wrestling when I started watching wrestling.
Some say ever.
I would say ever. Yeah. I would definitively say ever. But yeah, he's what got me watching wrestling. I remember my mate, whose name was also William, as it happens, being like, oh, come and watch this wrestling. I was like, oh, like Hogan and Ultimate Warrior and all that. I remember that. And he's like, no, watch this. And it was an episode of Raw where the opening match was D'Lo Brown and Owen Hart in a hardcore rules match, accompanied by Ivory and Deborah, respectively. Yeah. I remember that very
clearly. Ivory with the greatest entrance and the greatest spot probably of any Royal Rumble this year.
Absolutely. The main event segment, it was one of those Raws where, you know, he didn't have a match, but he terrorised Vince McMahon. And it was amazing. And feeling he was solely responsible for me wanting to watch the next week's show.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. You know, I was hooked.
Was there anything specific that drew you to him? Was it just the anti-authority thing?
The anti-authority thing and just how loud the crowd always was when he came out. And, you know, he was just cool, wasn't he?
The thing that I appreciate most about him is that he barely had any moves. He barely had any moves. But everything he did, he would batter you.
Like, later in his career,
he definitely
true.
Did kind of blur the lines in terms of this isn't a match, this is a fight. If I will lose Thez Pressier, probably, in the first 2 minutes of a match, but, and that's not, this isn't a down thing, by the way, like, he would blur those lines and he would make it look like you were getting in the ring with him and you were going to get a battering.
I think that's definitely true later in his career. Like, I think he just didn't have to wrestle as much later in his career. Like, he was still a great wrestler. He could still do it.
Million Dollar Dream's a wrestling hold at the end of the day. But that out WrestleMania 17, didn't he?
Yeah.
Late into his career.
But he was a great wrestler. He just didn't have to, because as you say, the little things
his character definitely much, it definitely kind of lent itself to the fact that he wasn't putting someone in like a figure four leg lock.
Which, that probably brings me my second question for him actually, is what does he prefer of those two styles? Because obviously he, early in his career he wrestled and he was the reason everyone was so clamouring for him to get a big push was because everyone liked his wrestling. You know, he was a smart favorite before the internet was a thing.
Yeah.
Does he prefer that, or does he prefer the sort of very character driven wrestling that he did, where it was just as you, like punches and kicks in sort of a very specific way to get these huge reactions? Does he prefer sort of being Stone Cold Steve Austin and doing these character driven storyline matches, or does he prefer wrestling, you know, getting down on the mat and grappling and showing off his great training?
Imagine if he had Zack Sabre Jr. levels of wrestling ability, but we just never know.
I think there's a very good chance that he was an incredible talent. Obviously an incredible, that was a stupid thing to say, incredible talent, but you watch his sort of like 96, 97 runs. Yeah. He was a great wrestler.
He was. And when you watch it, you can definitely see he's someone that when you mention Steve, you always go to that white hot period. Mm. But it wasn't as instant as what you kind of think, as what in straight away, because he came in, he was a ringmaster.
Mm-hmm.
He then had he floundered for a long time.
Yeah.
And he just didn't find that.
Do you know, the evidence that they didn't really have any plans for him even then, he won King of the Ring and then didn't do anything for a few months.
Nothing.
He won the King of the Ring, and then it wasn't until sort of Bret Hart picked him to be his feud for Survivor Series that his feud with Bret Hart did more for him than winning the King of the Ring did.
Yeah.
Because, King of the Ring was 96, and then SummerSlam that year, he didn't have a match.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone remembers, maybe I'm too old, but he didn't have a match on that SummerSlam. He wrestled Yokozuna on the pre-show. The pre-show wasn't a thing, so it was just a non-televised dark match.
Yeah.
He beat Yokozuna when the ropes collapsed, when Yoko went for the bonsai drop.
He's definitely
you can Google that if anyone's interested.
He pretty much forced his way into the sort of the mainstream as to where he wasn't given the opportunity, but he took it.
Absolutely.
Like, he absolutely took everything that he was given. And that even means nothing. You know, if there were times where he was given absolutely nothing, like I say, pre-show, but it just ended up, when you look at it in hindsight, kind of adding to his story, if it was a book, you know, if it was. But I think that's a fair question. That is a fair question. Did you have a third one?
I'm struggling to think of a third one for Steve Austin, because again, I think he's very much someone who you could give him a topic and he would talk.
And he would talk about it. Yeah. I think I do think that we'll have Steve back in here quite a few times.
Hopefully less beers in his belly
less in character, because he still hasn't cleaned up that smashed glass.
Nah, he's gone again. He's gone.
But again, I think everyone... He seems like someone that you could just have a crack on with as well. Like,
I think so, yeah. I think that's the sort of three question for Steve Austin is difficult, because he's exactly the kind of person who you'd love to go for a pint with.
I think my third question would be, will you be my friend?
There you go.
Can I add you on Facebook?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that would be my
third question. I bet he doesn't have
Facebook.
He
doesn't have it. He's
check?
Unplugged. Just him on his ranch.
Yeah. With his dog Mula.
With his dog. So let's pop back to Paul. You were about, before we were so rudely interrupted, before, Stephen, looking at you, what was your first question to Paul?
I'd love to know sort of what his fondest memories of ECW were.
Yeah.
Because he never talks about it now. And rightfully so. I think, you know, he wants to move on and do great things, and, you know, he's done loads since. Obviously, ECW closed a long time ago now. But I'd love to know if he's sort of nostalgic for it, and if what his thoughts are and what his sort of fondest memories are and things like that.
Yeah, it was definitely he burnt the candle at both ends. When you watch sort of documentaries and interviews and things about that time, he run himself into the ground, and it was probably for his own benefit.
Yeah,
that ECW did burn out, because it was going to be a case of either he burned out or the company did. And I would much rather sit here 20 years later and still be able to talk about Paul Heyman than I would be able to talk about knowing that he's still here, because the things he's doing now, again, he's doing great things now, and I think no matter what you put Heyman in, he's going to give his best. And his best is always great.
It is. He takes little things and makes them important.
What was your first memory of Paul Heyman?
probably like coming into the Fed in 2001 and being an amazing commentator and being like him and JR. Controversial. I think they were a better team than JR and King.
I agree.
I think much better because I think this is, I don't know, getting a bit
shouts for small animals.
Yeah. Just again, this is potentially getting personal here, but like I think that JR could kind of go on autopilot with Lawler. I think Lawler didn't really challenge him, and JR could kind of just sit there and say his catchphrases, and that was great. It was still really entertaining and stuff. Yeah. But I think I think Heyman sort of pushed him and sort of made him fight with him and stuff, and it was incredibly entertaining. I mean, and they were just, what a team.
Let's be honest as well, Heyman's commentary has definitely aged a lot better than me.
Yes, that's a fair comment.
Than the sun. But I think JR's at his best when he's back almost against the wall.
And Heyman always did that.
Yeah, when he's not on autopilot, he's not just saying things just for the sake of saying them. And Heyman was absolutely a catalyst for doing that. WrestleMania 17, when he got brought into it for that show. Great. Arguably one of the things that makes that show
one of
as
the big
good.
Ones. Absolutely.
Is that voice, because at that point it was very much a fresh voice.
Yeah.
Instead of hearing just, just aged.
And I think like that I loved him during all that. Well, I probably hated him during all that because, you know, he was a human. And sort of his invasion run, then he disappeared and came back with Brock Lesnar, and that was amazing. And then I think when I first sort of turned the corner of, you know, he's the baddie, and I boo him. It was when he was the general manager of SmackDown, which didn't last that long.
No, it was a great run, though.
But yeah, but that was probably when I turned the corner, being like, this guy's really good. Like, yeah. I really like him, you know. And obviously, everything he's done since is just great. And the more I see of him sort of giving interviews and in real life and stuff, he's a genius.
He really knows his stuff. When you open up that head of his, it's not a brain, it's just millions of cogs. It is. Everything's constantly turning. You said it yourself, his thumb's always on the pulse. And he's very much a man of the moment, but pretty much any moment you can make his.
Yeah.
Anything you put to him, it'll marketably be better.
Yeah.
For better.
And if you put him sort of with someone in the main event of a big storyline, sort of on a big show, he'll give it 110%. If you put him on the pre-show, on a panel, just chatting about sort of undercard matches or whatever, he'll give that 110% as well.
And
find some angle on it that makes you care, and he's just great.
And I hope, more than anything, he gives your answers 110%.
I'm sure he would. I don't think he's capable of phoning it in, I think.
With that being said, your second question to Mr. Heyman.
Again, it's sort of getting into the area of wanting to know what goes on backstage.
Yeah.
He's talked about it a little bit, about his run as sort of creative for SmackDown, and really funny stories about sort of listening in on Raw's conference calls and stealing their ideas and stuff like that. And not even stealing, just wanting to know what their ideas were so that he could beat them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'd love to know about that era. You know, what was it like sort of working under Vince McMahon and working so closely with the McMahon family, Stephanie and stuff? And like, I'm sure he'd walk the line and sort of find positive things to say about the whole period. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to know what that, you know, sort of insider take on that period of his career. Because I'm sure it was a day-to-day battle. Like, I'm sure he struggled.
Well, yeah.
And
fought
for things.
I think, but because he's so strong and steadfast in his vision, of course, the brightest stars shine something half as time. You know the saying.
I do know the saying. Yeah. It actually applies to Steve Austin. You know,
again,
his main event run was really short in the grand scheme, but it was so white hot.
I think because it was so intense as well, like it kind of, hindsight certainly makes it out to be a bit longer and kind of more than what it actually is. But again, I think Heyman's a great shout. I really do. I think the dynamic between the three of them as well, they've all got history.
Mm.
They've all got they've all been in and around the same company. It's very, I think without you even kind of realising it, it's very almost ECW centric.
Yeah.
But for a certain time, not sort of latter day ECW,
where
it was just kind of finding its feet.
Probably says quite a lot about me as a wrestling fan and what I enjoy.
Potentially. The final question then for Paul, if you had one last question.
I think it's something that you definitely wouldn't be able to find out by Googling it.
Right.
Would be, what's Brock Lesnar like in real life? Is he a nice guy? Are he and Paul friends? You know, I'd love to know what Lesnar's like in real life. How he is with Paul Heyman and
stuff
like that.
How do you think he is? You close your eyes. What's Sunday morning, what's Brock doing?
I think he's probably playing with his kids and just playing with his dog. And I think he's probably a lovely guy. I think his current sort of character, when he's sort of smiling and making jokes and stuff, I think that's probably a lot closer to who he is in real life than the sort of stoic, angry man that he's been for the last 20 years.
That's true.
Like, I think he's probably very comfortable in his own skin. I think he's probably just, I think he's nice to the people who are nice to him. So I've got this lovely image that him and Paul Heyman are like best mates.
Yeah.
And like, not just like, they talk about everything other than wrestling, you know, and I think they're probably really good friends. And I think he's probably a really nice guy to everyone who asks. I think people probably are scared to approach him backstage, but when they do, they get sort of a chat with him. Like, I think he's probably secretly a dead nice guy.
Yeah.
Basically. And I would love Paul Heyman to confirm that. Or just be like, nah, he's a dick and he wants nothing to do with you.
Yeah, I think based on everything, based on history, Heyman would definitely give you an answer that would be, that has equal chance of it being true to what it is to not being true. He could say, actually, it's Sunday morning, he's pulling trees out of the ground with his bare hands.
That's a very Paul Heyman answer. You know, I think, I mean, that's, he'd work the gimmick.
Yeah, I think he would.
He's
be.
Chewing tires and stuff.
He's chasing cars down the road. And when he gets them, flipping them, you know, he's going to build up that.
Which is funny.
So again, I think that's a third way to them.
I think I'd rather fight a moving car than Brock Lesnar.
I think you've got more chance of fighting.
I think I've got more chance of beating a moving car than Brock Lesnar.
So those are three wonderful, wonderful guests. And like I say, I think that they are the testament to yourself for picking those, is that we'll no doubt see all three of these back at some point in the future.
Yeah.
So
I was very much thrown by Steve Austin's behaviour here at the Rest Holder
on. I think we all were. I have a sign out the front that does say, please just don't smash things and don't throw beer over people. And within the first hour opening night, he's done just that.
Don't cue your own theme music unexpectedly in the middle of someone else's interview, things like that.
Just before we round out, because all good things must come to a close, unfortunately, you getting a drink for the table?
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you getting?
Beer. I think keeping Austin happy is probably the best thing at this point. And I think Heyman's a man's man. I think he'll drink a beer. I think Eddie would probably go with the water. I think he'd probably stick with the water.
Yeah. Any snacks?
He's got to get home and look after the kids and all that. You know?
Any snacks for the table? Are you ordering like a meal for everyone, or is it just?
I'd let them order their own food. I'm not a.
Okay. Yeah. That's fair play. That's.
Maybe we could do tapas. You know, pick it. Little picky meals. You know.
Beautiful. And lastly. How will we settle another bill?
Oh, Heyman's paying.
Heyman's paying.
He's got that Brock Lesnar money.
Heyman's paying.
He's got that Brock Lesnar money.
Are we making a quick getaway after he's paid?
Yeah.
Is he almost pushing you out the door?
Yeah.
I've got this, lads. Get
yourself. I'm not. No. I don't think Heyman would willingly pay. I think I'd have to.
Are you ditching him?
Are you ditching
Heyman?
Am I allowed to come back to the Rest Holder on at any point? I'll dine and dash then.
It depends if this bill gets paid.
I'll dine and dash.
So you're doing an IOU? Is that how we're setting this up?
If I have to pay, yeah. I get paid in a couple of weeks.
I don't care how it gets paid. I just care that it gets paid. And I'll be honest, Austin's in a lot of superficial damage out the back that you're going to have to add on to your
side. Well, the thing is, there's three ways of looking at it. One, Eddie's probably got the least money, given that he's not been with us for 17 years. Steve Austin probably has the most money, given that he's Stone Cold Steve Austin. And Paul Heyman's got those big Brock Lesnar paydays. So why is it on me? I work in a call centre. You know what I mean? Why am I paying the bill?
You've been invited.
I invited them.
You've made the reservations under your name.
Tell you what, if it ends this, I'll pay. I'll pay. Everyone is, in that case, I'll revise some previous answers. They'll all be having tap water and whatever's cheapest.
If you're paying, I think I'd rather have Heyman pay. So, thank you very much for coming here. Hopefully we'll see you and your three guests in the future at some point, sooner rather than later. Don't be a stranger. Come along anytime you like. Thank you very much for listening. Hopefully you've had an average to good time. I'm not going to say great, because, you know, we have to set those expectations. Realistic goals for realistic levels. So hopefully we'll see you again. Bye!